in the Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8. This is actually, I believe, our third week in this one chapter of the book of Romans. We're actually doing a series right now called A Journey to Rome with Love, A Journey Through the Book of Romans. So we're going through the book of Romans, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to study and see what God has for us. The Roman church is a church that we don't know if Paul established the church himself or if one of his contemporaries established the church, but since Paul was kind of a leading voice in the church and one of the early church leaders, he's writing this letter to this church in Rome. Now, if you know anything about the Roman culture, we know that they were very highly intelligent. They were very sophisticated. A lot of the technology and a lot of the things that we have even in use today was implemented by the people of Rome. Our sewer system, our government setup is derived in some way or fashion from Rome. So Rome was one of the greatest civilizations that ever lived. It's one of the greatest civilizations in all of history, one of the most successful civilizations. It expanded further than any other civilization had expanded before. So they had conquered a lot of the world. Amen? And they didn't think that it was ever going to end. Sound familiar? Sounds a lot like the United States of America, a world leader, a trendsetter that doesn't think that it's ever going to end. But, excuse me, but if you study history like I've studied history, I always wonder what caused these great civilizations to fail. If they were so great, then what happened to them? If they were so smart, then how could they be so dumb? Amen. Because the Roman civilization is all but gone now. We just have remnants of what would be Rome. You look at the Byzantine Empire. You look at all of these different empires that just didn't last. Well, one person once wrote, I forget who penned this, but he said, a nation like that doesn't destroy itself from without, it destroys itself from within. See, what happens is, as you get full of yourself, when you start to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, the Bible calls that being high-minded or having a haughty spirit, then guess what? Fall. There's a fall. See, haughtiness goes, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a great fall. So what happens is you think you know it all, you think you know more than God. So what happens is you put your law above the laws of God. Come on, you're not with me this morning. When you start saying things like, well, I don't care what the Bible says, all I care is about what we say. What's hot now, what's trendy now, is what's right. And we just go with the flow. Amen? So what happens to a nation, a civilization like that, what happens is they begin to decay morally. Moral decline and moral decay always precedes the rest of the decline, the rest of the fall. As the nation declines in its moral integrity, then it begins to weaken. Amen?
Amen.
So as we go through the book of Romans, we have to keep that in mind, because Paul has established a church there, or someone's established a church there, but Paul is writing to the church there, telling them, this is how you hold up.
Amen.
This is how, this is why God has put you there for such a time as this.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Second Chronicles said, if my people,
yes, Lord,
who are called by my name,
yes, Lord,
would humble themselves and pray,
yes, Lord,
then turn off the HBO. No, Siri, I got Verizon Television, and they hit me this month with free HBO.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, a few years ago, when I was struggling with keeping my purity, I called the cable company. I said, listen, I don't need these extra channels. Because at a certain time, they become, Yeah, come on. I can't get no amen. So subscribers maybe on this side. So I turn those channels off. I don't even want the temptation. I don't want to deal with it. I don't like the programming. Uh-huh. Doesn't fit with my spirit, amen?
Amen.
That fits with my flesh. My flesh wants to keep the channels, but my spirit doesn't want to keep. So I turn the channels off. So they hit me this week, say, this month, say, oh, you can have free HBO to April. Called them up and I watched a couple movies. I got a couple things I hadn't seen. And I said, oh, I didn't see that yet. Let me watch this and then I'm going to call the company and tell them. But I called them. I said, hey, I got these channels on this HBO. I don't want it. They said, but sir, it's free. It's a compliment. No, but it doesn't compliment my spirit, sir. I don't want it. Oh, but it's free for it. I said, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please turn it off of my television?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
See, God says, if my people
yes, Lord,
who are called by my name,
yes, Lord,
he's talking about the church.
Yes.
And he's not talking about the physical building. He's talking about you and I, the
yes,
individual.
Uh-huh.
If my people
yes,
will just humble themselves. Man, I tell you, something crazy would happen in the United States if all the Christians, and this is kind of one of my little dreams in the back of my mind, that if all the Christians in the United States would just cut off their cable for about 3 months, so they can feel us like this, you know what I mean? They worry about, you know, there's certain things they worry about this. The only thing that really matters is this, but if we could use our buying power a little bit, say, well, you know what? Until you change the programming, until the Family Guy actually looks like a Family Guy.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not my message. But I'm just talking about Paul writing to the church in Romans. Because the scripture goes on to say that if my people get it right, if the church gets it right, then the land will benefit. He said, then I'll heal from heaven, then I'll heal the whole land. So what we got to do, we stop complaining about what's going on in government, we stop complaining about what the nation is doing, and we start getting on our knees. We have our own personal, what I call a me Bible, and then that starts a revival, because you say, I'm getting straight with God, it catches fire, and all of a sudden we have a great awakening.
Uh-huh.
Are you following me?
Amen.
So Paul is not writing to just all the Romans, because I mean, they're doing all kind of stuff. I mean, the Romans are freaking geeky. They're like HBO to 10 power. You know, they don't stop at just a little bit. They go all the way. So there's all kind of crazy stuff. But even in Rome, the gay marriage was outlawed, isn't it? We ain't going that far. That's what happened to one of the Caesars. He tried to bring us and nah, man, we ain't even that crazy. But we are. So I'm just painting the picture a little bit so we know who we're talking to. Now, fast forward, we come to a part in Romans chapter 8 that we find out something very special that all of us need to just rejoice in. He says that we are now sons of God. Romans chapter 8, he says we are now sons through the Spirit of God. So we are sons, then we are heirs. And we talked about how we received the spirit of adoption. Oh, amen, that we've been adopted in, but it's not the type of adoption that we have today. The adoption that we have today does not really clarify what Paul is saying. This adoption, this spiritual adoption, is the type of adoption that says that you have been placed. In fact, the word means a son who's been placed in the family. That means that the son is placed into the family. The daughter who is placed into the family as though they've always been there. They don't introduce them as, oh, yeah, this is my stepson, this is my adopted son, this is my wife's son. This is my son. So once you get grafted in through Jesus Christ, once you're grafted into the family, you're in there like you've always been in there, and you are heir according to the promise. That means that you receive the same blessing that the natural children receive.
Amen.
So we talked about how we're now sons of authority. We're sons of the Most High God. We're grafted into the family of God. And because of that, we receive a great blessing. So look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Let's take this thing a little bit further. He says, verse 18, he says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also have, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Verse 24, "For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For we, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren." Verse 30, moreover, "whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified." Friends, I want to talk to you today from the subject titled, "The Story Before the Glory." Paul says, look, "I consider the sufferings, these present sufferings, my present situation." He said, "I consider the sufferings of the present time, they are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed." Paul is saying that since we are sons through Christ, through his Spirit, since we are sons through Christ, then we also suffer through Christ. 3 points we want to make today is that we suffer in hope, we persevere with help, and we glory in him. First of all, we suffer in hope. He said these current sufferings, they fail in comparison. Look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16-18. Look what it says to the church in Corinth. And this was another wild and crazy bunch. Second Corinthians chapter 4. He says, look, in verse 16, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that which are not seen are eternal." What Paul is pointing out here, what he's reiterating to the church at Corinth, he says, listen, whatever we're going through right now is not only light, but it's also temporary. You understand? Because see, we're not created to stay in this place forever. Amen. We are eternal beings. We are spirit beings that live in a body, but we possess a soul, a mind, a will, a volition. Amen. Amen. But our truest nature is that of a spiritual way. We are spiritual. That means that we are just passing through this life. You understand what I'm saying? We're just passing through here. We're here, but only for a moment. So whatever sufferings that we deal with here are only light afflictions, Paul calls them. Listen, I know that we all are going through some things. Everybody has their own troubles, their own trials, their own tribulations, their own tests, the things that we're going through. We all have that. But in the big picture, in the big scheme of things, Paul says that those things are nothing compared to the glory that's to come. Amen.
Amen.
See, the one thing I tell you that the enemy loves to do is he loves to magnify. That's what he's good at. He doesn't create anything. All he can do is manipulate what's already been created. You understand? The devil is a created being. He doesn't create anything. The only thing that he can do is manipulate what's already been created. And he loves to pervert things. He loves to pervert the truth. You understand? So what he does is, one of his tricks is he'll magnify something that's really not that big. Because my Bible said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You understand? So he'll say, no, that's too hard. No, God can't save you. You know what you did last night? What are you doing sitting up in these nice cushiony chairs? You know you should be in the back on the bleacher. This is the kind of stuff the devil said. I don't want to sit. I shouldn't sit up front. I'm not right. But the devil wants to magnify that because he uses that as a distraction. Yeah. But God wants to use it as an attraction.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? The devil wants to use fear. See, he operates in fear. See, the Bible said that God had not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. He had not given us a spirit of fear. He gave us the emotion of fear. You understand? God has given us an emotion of fear. You're standing on top of that Empire State Building, you're going to feel a certain way. If some of you, if you stand on top of this building, you're going to feel a certain way. For some of you, the curve is a little too high. You might feel a certain way. That's a natural feeling. Are you following me?
Yes.
God gives you that fear to tell you you're not supposed to be up this high. Are you following me? Well, I'm a real secret, Pastor Judge. I just like it. Okay, we'll see. Amen? But he said he doesn't give us the spirit of fear. Well, if he didn't give us the spirit of fear, who did? The other guy. That's what he specializes in. That's where condemnation comes in. Condemnation is an act of fear. It's a product of fear. You understand? Condemnation says you're not good enough. Condemnation says you're a sinner. You low down, dirty dog. You're not good enough. It wants you to feel bad. It wants you to feel ashamed. So ashamed that it keeps you away from where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
You know how many folks don't go to church because they don't feel worthy of going to church because of the way they're living? That's not the truth. The truth is you should be in church so that you can be reconciled unto God.
Yeah.
Are you following me? That's the place where you need to be. The place that you're running from is the place that you need to be. That's the place where you're healing. That's the place where you can be forgiven. That's the place where you can lay it down at the altar. But the altar is not at the club, baby. That's the dance floor. That's the place where you go deeper into yourself. It's right where the enemy wants you to be. Because he specializes in fear. Fear, the acronym, F-E-A-R. False evidence that appears to be real. It's not real. It just looks real. The Bible said that the devil is as a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He just looks like one. He acts like one. He's roaring real loud, but you don't realize he doesn't have teeth. You see the Wizard of Oz? Remember the Wizard of Oz? Everybody was scared of the wizard. Until they find out that all behind all of that huff and puff, there was this little old man. Fragile. Soon as they went behind the curtain, behind the veil to see who was there, and they found out that did all this huffing and puffing, that's who the devil is. He makes you think he's bigger and more powerful than he really is. Listen, he's more powerful than you and I individually, but he's not more powerful than the spirit that rests inside of us.
Yeah.
So that's why you don't say, I'm just trying to help you out. Rebecca, don't go around rebuking the devil in your name. I rebuke the devil. No, I don't rebuke the devil. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you. Are you following me? Listen, you try to rebuke the devil, you're gonna be like those guys. He said, listen, the sons of Sceva. What did he say? Said, listen, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? I rebuke. Who are you? And guess what? They got beat naked and sitting home running. That's in the Bible, man. You don't believe that's in the Bible in the book of Acts. So you don't go rebuking the devil and none of that. You say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Greater is me that is, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's who I'm talking about. That's who does the rebuking. That's who does the casting out. They say, I don't cast out anything in my name because the Bible says he may go out, but he come back with seven more of his friends. You leave worse than you came. You came to the healing service with a back problem. Let the wrong person lay hands on you. Now you got a back problem, a mind problem, a foot problem. You broke. Man, I never had money problem. Now all of a sudden I'm broke. What's going on? Going to folks that's not operating under the power of God. Amen. So Paul says, look, the sufferings of this world, they are but small. And when you look at the big picture of the thing, and if you really want to put things in perspective, start reading about the missionaries around the world, about what they go through to share the gospel. Of the missionaries who went into the leprosy camps, who knew that going into the leprosy camp, there would be a good chance that they would catch leprosy. But they didn't consider their lives to be that valuable. They considered the message of Jesus Christ to be their ultimate purpose. So they intentionally went to the leprosy camp, contracted leprosy, and died of leprosy, but not before they gave the people the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, some God just wants some of us to come to church. God's calling them to do other things, and you should be glad.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That puts things into perspective. When you see what you're going through, look at what other people are going through all around this world. You think you're broke? Really? Compared to 90% of the world, you're wealthy.
Yes.
You got more than one pair of shoes, you're a wealthy person.
Yes.
In 90% of the world,
yes,
you are a wealthy person if you have more than one pair of shoes. Listen, I've been there. I've seen them in Africa. They got the kids, and they don't have Air Jordans. They got milk cartons on the bottom of their feet wrapped up with some twine, and that's what they're running around playing soccer with a ball that's flat. Paul said
right.
These are light afflictions compared to the glory of God. See, the enemy wants you to suffer, wants you to focus in on the suffering that you're going through. He wants you to suffer in on, focus in on your problem. Because when you focus in on your problem, you don't see everything that's going on around you. It says, focus in on your problem, your little world. Stay in your world, and that's where I want you at. Because you won't see the bigger picture of what God wants to do in your life. See, we'll get to it, but we know that all things work together for good.
Yes. Amen.
So guess what? We suffer, but we don't suffer like those who have no hope. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. He said, you may mourn, but don't mourn like those who have no hope. Talked about last week, you know, the people who at the funeral that they try to jump in the casket with the person, and they do all these histrionics and act real crazy because they don't know what they're going to pray. They don't know. Listen. If your loved one was with the Lord, then guess what? They just passed on to another place. So you mourn in a different way. You mourn because you miss them. You don't mourn because you won't see them again. You mourn because that person can't be with you, so that hurts me, and that hurts deeply because I can't see you grow up. I can't see what you're going to become. That hurts me. I mourn, but I don't mourn as one who is hopeless, because guess what? I'm going to see you again.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to see you again. So we suffer, but we suffer. We don't suffer as though there is no hope. We suffer as those who actually have hope.
Yes.
The Bible says that for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Listen, the earth, The Bible said that the earth is hurting, waiting for us to get it right. Isn't that interesting? The Bible said that the earth is moaning and groaning, called earthquakes and tornadoes, hurricanes, typhoons, crazy winds, getting worse and worse. Are you following? Listen, if you're not paying attention, you probably should start paying attention, because all of these crazy natural disasters, they're becoming more frequent and they're becoming more intense. Just a few years ago, Philippines, what was it, 100-some thousand people washed away in the ocean? Hurricane Katrina? All of these Ebola virus, all of these things that are taking place in the world. The earth is sick, you all. And it's sick physically, but that's because we're sick spiritually. It's called sin.
Yeah.
But like I said, the scripture said, if my people would just get right. I love it that he didn't say if everybody would get right. He didn't say, well, you know, if the atheists just start believing, and you know, if the Muslims just get it together, and he didn't say that. He said, if those people who are called by my name, those people who say they know me, if those people would just get it right, you would see something happen in the earth. So look, so the earth is subject to futility. Amen. It means frailty. Kind of condemned to frustration. The earth is frustrated. But we wait in hope. Hope, the word elpis, it means to look forward with confidence.
Amen.
We suffer in hope. We suffer in looking forward with confidence. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the tangible evidence of things not yet seen. That goes right along with what Paul said to the Corinthian church. He said, we don't look at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporary. Listen, that house you worry about paying for, that's temporary. It gets old enough, they're going to tear it down. Are you following me? The car that you're waxing on Saturday and Sunday and making sure everything, listen, after a while, somebody else going to be driving it. Are you following me? The motorcycle, ooh, my motorcycle is so clean. I keep it clean. Nobody about to ever touch it. Somebody's going to be touching it after a while. Because the motorcycle is probably going to outlive you.
Amen.
And you've never seen a U-Haul attached to a hearse.
Amen.
Nobody takes their stuff with them when they go the other way. They sell it at auction. Soon as you go, they sell it. Are you following? Their hands going to be all on it. Listen, even the Egyptians tried it, but they still find the tools and all that stuff still left behind. Are you following me? They tried to take their cats. Man, you don't want to be in the Egyptian house when they die, because everybody had to die with them. You go, I want my best maidservant, they kill her and they wrap her up. She put her in there. The dog, the cat, oh man, he died, so they killed the dog. This is what they did. They wrapped the dog up and they put them in there with them. Everybody had to go. But listen, you're not taking any of it with you. It's all temporary. That's why Paul is saying, don't look to the things that are seen. They're only temporary. They're only substance of those things. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Are you following? That's what Hebrews said. It said, by that, the elders gained a good testimony. See, the hope is tied in with faith. So we don't look forward with fear, we look forward with faith. You get what I'm saying? We don't look forward in fear, we look forward in faith. We don't look at what we're going through, we focus on the fact that we're just going through. We focus that it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. You understand? And that this is just for a moment. This trouble I'm in, it's just for a moment. What I'm dealing with, oh, it's just for a moment. Oh, I got laid off, it's just for a moment. Are you following me? Whatever I'm dealing with, it's just for a moment. I'm going through it. Day though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What do you do when you're walking through? You keep walking. Sometimes you gotta crawl, but keep moving forward. Are you following me? You might have to scooch.
Amen.
That's what pain will walk with. Whatever you got to do, you just keep moving forward. Like I say all the time, you're going through hell, don't stop. Some of us like me a little too much. We get in hell, we take a selfie. Don't stop yourself. This is on my Instagram. Don't stop. You'll have time to take pictures. You'll have time to stop at the gift shop. You don't want nothing that hell has to offer. You just keep on going through because you know that God knows the end from the beginning. And you want to be where He is. He sees you in your future, like Bishop Blake said, I see you in the future, and you look much better in the future than you look right now.
Amen.
Amen. See, you gotta have that kind of thinking. Now, I look better than in the future than I do right now. I may not be much to look at right now, but you catch me in a couple weeks. You catch me in a couple months. Amen. My countenance may be down right now, but I need you to look on the inside and not on the outside. Listen, I do the best for what I can on the outside, but I want you to look at me on the inside. Because on the inside, I'm leaping for joy. What do you mean you're leaping for joy? Well, that's stupid. What do you mean? That's stupid. Things are not going your way. That's what the devil said. Things ain't going your way. How you going to pay your bills? You lost your job. How you going to do this? How you going to do that? What the devil like to say? He's like to magnify everything. 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 Can anybody testify with me that you worried about something so hard sometime, and then when you got on the other side of the thing, you said, why did I waste my time? Because it came out and it didn't even bother you. You came out without a stress. You were so concerned and so worried. Well, man, he said, oh, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then after you get on the other side, say, man, I was very sick about that. You know why? Because we get so used to telling God how big our problems are that we forget to tell our problems how big our God is. We know there's nothing too hard for God. The Bible said there's nothing too hard for the Lord.
Yeah.
And we got to believe that. Yeah. So we suffer, but we suffer in hope. Listen, Christians go through the same things everybody else go through.
Yeah.
A Christian could get his house foreclosed just as quickly as someone who's not a Christian. A Christian could lose a loved one just as quickly. You're a Christian. Well, see, some people think that once you become a Christian, all of a sudden your life is just perfect. Nothing goes bad for you. I got news for you. The Bible says you got an inheritance, but with the inheritance comes the suffering. Because if you're going to be with Christ, you're going to have some suffering.
Yes.
But the Bible lets us know that not only do we suffer in hope, but we persevere with help.
Yes.
We persevere with help. Jesus, before he left the disciples, said, Lord, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. But then he was talking about, I'm going to be with my Father. How are you going to be with your Father and be with us? They didn't understand it in their natural mind. So Jesus told them in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, he says, look, I go to the Father, but I see you a helper.
Uh-huh.
He said, Don't worry. Don't worry yourself. I'm just going to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to send you another helper. Uh-huh. See, I'll help you while I'm with you, but the one I'm sending, he's going to help you from within.
Man.
You understand?
Yes.
Jesus, God incarnate, the Word became flesh. Flesh has limitations. Flesh can't be in New York or Los Angeles at the same time, even if it's Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Are you following me?
Amen.
Jesus could not be in Galilee and Jerusalem at the same time. Mm-hmm. Are you following me?
Amen.
So Jesus said, listen, I'm with you right now, and you see the miracles that I perform because you're with me. You understand? But I can only reach so far because I'm limited by this flesh. So what needs to happen is I need to leave you physically, and I'm going to send another comforter to you in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The old church called him the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Amen. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to come, and not only is he going to be with you, he's going to live inside of you. Amen. So we suffer with hope, but we persevere with help. See, as a Christian, we have certain sufferings, but also the Bible says that added to the regular normal suffering that we go through, that all everyday people go through, we have added sufferings called persecution. We don't like that. See, we got real quiet. Persecution, man. We don't like that, man. Don't talk about being blessed and stuff. I like that stuff. You know, we blessed overflow more than enough and all that good stuff. Can we just stay there? We blessed to be a blessing. I like that message. But when you start talking about persecution, it don't matter what church you're in, it gets a little quiet because now we're getting real deal Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
said this, and if they hated me, then guess what? They gonna hate you.
Yeah.
They hated me, then guess what? So if you got haters, make sure you got haters for the right reason.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
A lot of folks running around talking about, I got haters. No, that's just people telling you what you don't want to hear. But we call them haters. No, that's a hater. No, he's just telling you what you don't want to hear. So, but we put a label on. Oh, that's a hater. No, that's not a hater. That's just somebody. That's usually their mom or somebody close to them just telling them you're just making bad choices with your life. Mm-hmm. Stop being stupid.
Uh-huh.
Not a hater. So you bragging on haters. If you bragging on haters, brag for the right reason. They hate me because I'm like Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. That's a good reason to have haters. They hate me because Jesus says they hate me. Guess what? All I did was feed them. All I did was clothe them. All I did was heal them. I delivered demons from them. I did all. I taught them in the word. I made some things clear that they didn't understand. For years and years, all I did was hand to save them, but they hated me because of it. So if they hate me, listen, you ain't fed nobody but your glory no more. He said, I took them to McDonald's, let everybody order a number 16 off the menu. That's the Filet-O-Fish value meal. Number 16. Fish. It's got fish in it, right?
Yeah.
And it's got bread on it, right?
Yeah.
Fish and lard.
Yeah.
Jesus said, give me two number 16 with extra bread. He went and blessed it and multiplied it. He said, that's all I did was bless. That's all I did. And they hated me for it. So guess what? If they hated me for that, and you not doing anything, you ain't even tell them about me. Then they'll hate you. That's called persecution. They're going to hate you for no reason. They're going to hate you for just because they want to hate you. Because of who you represent. Are you following me?
Amen.
So he said, so we have these persecutions. But look what God said. He says, in verse 26 of the scripture, he says, but likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. What are our weaknesses? Our weakness are doubt, ignorance, lack of understanding. As Christians, we have sufferings, weaknesses, and persecution. John 15:20, look what Jesus said. He said, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted you, they will persecute me, they will also persecute you. But then back in 14, verse 15 to 26, God says, I'm going to send you a helper. One of the things the helper does is he's going to teach you.
Amen, amen.
One of the works of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, is that he's going to teach you. He's going to give you understanding of some things. I believe 1 Corinthians around the second chapter, he talks about people that read the word of God but don't understand it. I had a conversation with my dad a few years ago. He said, man, I read that Bible, I just don't get it. I said, because the Bible itself tells you that you won't get it because you're perishing. These things are spiritually discerned. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 around verse 20, it said these don't make sense to those who are perishing, those who are living without the Spirit of God active in their lives. You can read the Bible from cover to cover and you still won't get it. It's not until you have the help of the Holy Spirit to give you the discernment that you need to understand what's really going on in the Word of God. So you can read and read and read, and all it's going to do is get you frustrated because you think that Saul in the book of Acts is the same Saul in the book of 1 Samuel.
Uh-huh.
You understand? There's two different Sauls. There's at least three other Jesuses in the Bible as well. So you read about this person, that person, you think that John the Baptist is John the Revelator, and you'll be confused. Are you following?
Yes.
Jesus had two disciples named Judas.
Yes.
And a couple named Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me? So there's little things like that will have you all thrown off if you don't have spiritual understanding of what the Word of God says. But he said, I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you in all things. That means he's going to give you understanding that you normally didn't have. He also said that that the Spirit makes intercession for us when we don't know what to pray for. Oh, that's good stuff. Sometimes you go in your prayer closet, you don't know what to say to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So the Spirit comes in and he just intercedes. He said, listen, I got you.
Yes.
I'm going to pray for you.
Yes.
I'm going to pray on your behalf. That's what intercession is. It means I'm going to plead God on your behalf. I'm going to make your, I'm going to stake your case before God. Oh, I don't know how to pray. You don't have to know how to pray. All you have to do is talk.
Amen.
You just talk with God. What you do when you want to talk to God? You grab yourself a chair. You grab yourself an empty chair, one of these nice cushion chairs that we just got. Amen.
Amen.
And then you sit there and you talk to the chair like it's God. But man, I'm going through some stuff. I don't understand this whole Bible. I don't. Why is there so much sin in the world? Why is there death in the world? God, please explain this to me. And you ask the Spirit to give you understanding. Listen, I went to 4 years of Bible college, and I never learned more about the Word of God than when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I went to college, I had head knowledge of the Word of God. I knew all the books of the Bible. I've been throughout my 4 years of college, I went from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Wrote a 30-page paper on one verse of scripture. It's called exegetical thesis. Amen. Did all of that, but did not understand the power of the Word of God until I received the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I see the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden everything started to click. Everything started to come together. So now I wasn't just reading the Word was reading me.
Yeah.
Are you following me? And the Word was just dumping off the pages into my heart, into my mind, and it had power.
Yeah. Man.
See, the Holy Spirit does for you.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help you to persevere with help. He said, I know you're going through some stuff, but you're not going through it alone.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you always, even to the end. I'm with you always. I'm in you now. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yeah.
I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Are you going?
Yeah.
He's inside it. So I understand, I'm going through some stuff, but I'm not going alone.
Hallelujah.
The devil loves to make you feel lonely. But God says, use your lonely to have more of me. Whenever you feel lonely, he said, I'm available.
Yes.
You understand? And whenever you feel lonely, that's when God is saying, I'm available.
Yeah.
I'm ready to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Come sup with me. Draw near to me.
Mm-hmm.
As the deer panted after the willow bush. So my heart pants after you, Lord. I'm lonely. The devil wants to take your loneliness and cause fear to begin to grow in your life. God says, I'll take your loneliness, and then I'll add myself to what you got going on. I interject myself into your situation. That's why they call me Emmanuel, the Lord with us. Are you following?
Hallelujah.
That's why his name is Emmanuel. You should call his name Jesus. Call his name Emmanuel.
Yes.
Well, who is Jesus? Jesus, the Lord is salvation. Who is Emmanuel? The Lord with us. God said, I want to get in your situation and deliver you from your situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all in his name. That's what he said. All right, so you're not going alone. You're not by yourself. The devil wants you to feel lonely. He wants you to feel like you're the only one that ever committed that sin. Oh, you're living a homosexual lifestyle. Oh, I'm so far away from God's word. What? It's all through and through, from the first book of the Bible. You're not the first one. The Bible tells you that there's nothing new under the sun.
Hallelujah. Man.
See, we think we invented new sin. No, the sin's still the same. We just have different ways of getting to it.
Yes.
See, before you have to look at pornography, my dad, I'm putting my dad on this butt. I remember being a kid, my dad had dirty movies on a film.
Yeah,
that's a lot of work. Yeah, the real, that's a lot of work to watch the nastiness. You know what I mean? Ain't no secret about a film projector. You gotta set that bad boy up. Boom. Get those big reels out. How you hide those? We go with little kids. Mommy, what's that? That ain't your business. That's when you know something bad was there. When your mom tell you it ain't none of your business, that's grown folk business. Oh, that's something bad. You know. See, we didn't invent that. But guess what?
Now
that film projector is on these little devices. Exactly. But you know what I'm saying? You understand? Listen, when I was a young man and I was dealing with that, I was a young man. The one thing that kept me from being deeper into it than I got into it was that you had to go to the video store. And for me, that was embarrassing. You know, I did maybe once or twice. I remember that maybe once or twice with some buddies. You know, you got your buddies there. You just not a dog, baby. You just bug and all that stuff. So maybe once or twice. And you hang around by the section and you in the English subtitle section, the foreign language section. It's next to the back room. You know, the back room where they keep the stuff. You all in it. You 18 years old and you look at the foreign language titles. The clerk know you're not interested in those movies. He know what you're standing next to. And then when you wave all around, you know, you look like you sneak in there real quick, grab some other movies on top and go to the clerk and put some other movies on top real quick and put that one on the bottom, you know, just turn it upside down so nobody can really see. But you gotta wait until the whole place is kind of clear it out, you know, but it always gets you. Then some old lady from church that know you from church coming and say, "Hey, baby, what this over there?" And you got like Bambi on the top of something, like, "Hey, you ready, Bambi?" It ain't that Bambi. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I'm just trying to keep it real. But God says, listen. We persevere with help. We persevere with help from God. When you get the Holy Spirit, He says, "I'm going to teach you in all things." Amen. He also is going to convict you. See, the Holy Spirit works in the thing called conviction.
Amen.
The enemy works in the thing called condemnation. Condemnation is from fear. Conviction is from faith.
Amen.
Condemnation is used by the enemy to keep you away from God, where conviction is used by God to draw you closer to Him. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That as you're going through your situation, as you're going through your sufferings, which are promised, by the way. See, we like the promises of the good stuff. I promise health and wealth and all that stuff. Those are promises of God. But He also promises some hard times, some rough patches, some things. So as you're going through some things, the Holy Spirit is there to remind you that you're not alone in it. He's there to remind you that you're not the only one that's been through it. That's what the whole Bible is about. When we look through from Genesis all the way through, we see these so-called heroes of faith. All of them very flawed, just like you and I. David was one of the worst of them all, but he was still called a man after God's own heart. And he wasn't called that by men, he was called that by God. God said, "That is a man after my own heart." Why? Because David knew that he wasn't alone. It was David who wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." That means that I shall not lack anything. "Lord is my shepherd, I shall. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restores me. He anoints my head with oil." David knew that was the song that David was saying, that I know that I am not alone in this situation. Amen?
Amen.
Even though I feel forsaken, even though I feel unworthy, I'm not alone. Not because of anything that I've done, but because of everything that He did. Amen?
Amen.
So we persevere knowing that we have help. It said the word intercession. He said He makes intercession for us, to make a petition for us, to plead. The work of the Spirit is to give us understanding and to plead on our behalf. John 16:22, Jesus said, "Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one can take it from you."
Yes.
You know the song said, this joy that I have, the world can't take it away because the world didn't get it. Amen. So that's what He's talking about. Listen, now is the time for sorrow, but now is also the time for faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Lastly, we glory in Him. We suffer in hope. We persevere with help. But then we glory in Him. Romans 8:28 should be one of your best favorite scriptures. Should be one that you commit to your memory. David said, "Thy word I hid in my heart that I might not sin against me." This is one of those scriptures that you want to highlight, underline, bookmark, whatever you need to do. Share it on your social networks, whatever you need to do to remember it. But it simply says, he said, "For we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now let's just break that down a little bit before we get out of here. He said, for we know, we don't guess. We know. We don't think. We know. We don't hypothesize. We know. We don't wonder. We know. Amen. We know. He said, for we know that all things, yes, all things. That means everything. All means all. Amen. We know that all things, you mean good things or bad things? I mean all things. You mean good, bad, or indifferent? I mean all things. All things, good or bad, work together. What? Work together. That word sunageo means things working together. Things fitting jointly together to do their part. We are all workers together, working together. Everything is working together. That one thing in and of itself, you may not get it. But when you look at the big picture of your life, you'll understand why you went through what you went through. You understand why your mother was a crack addict. Are you following me? You understand that how you started life as a privileged young man, get everything you want. You want a racetrack, you got a racetrack. You want a tennis bee, you got a tennis bee. You want a dog, you got a dog. And then all of a sudden, boom! I gotta give away my dog to live in the projects. Cause they don't allow dogs in the projects. I'm testifying right now in case you guys don't understand. So I went from you to me. One of the worst ones in my life, but I had to get rid of my full bred St. Bernard, the dog I love dearly, so that we can live in a stinking project.
Yes.
Where all these people that want to beat me up because you don't talk right.
Yes.
Man, I didn't think I was gonna make it out of the project. Man, they jumped on me quick.
What God? Hallelujah.
I got beat up quick. I had to learn how to get these together real quick.
Hallelujah.
Never had to fight before. There's my sisters before. My father, they get out of my fight. I don't understand this fighting thing. I mean, somebody mess with me, I go to my sister. Not this sister, because me and her didn't get along that well when we were kids, to tell the truth. You would never know it by how close we are now. When we were kids, and, you know, we used to battle over daddy. You know, my daddy better than your daddy. But my other sister, she used to baby me, and I go, her name is Kaz, and I go, can't eat mess with me, and she would go beat him up, because she liked to fight. You understand? But guess what? In the fullness of time, and understanding how that shaped my life today, I see, because I was selfish. I was spoiled and selfish. When we were forced to live together with a bunch of cousins and things like that, I was trying to keep my clothes. I would go visit my dad for the weekend, and I'd come back, and my little cousin had on my shirt, and that would drive me crazy. That's my shirt! I would cry for 3 days over this shirt that the boy was wearing. Messed me up. But I had to grow out of that. I said, no, man, not about you. We're trying to survive. Everybody's trying to survive in here. So it's not just about you. You got one shirt, everybody got a shirt. You got a new shirt, we all got a new shirt. But guess what? I needed that. I was like Joseph. You know, Joseph had that clothing in coming. His daddy favored him and all that stuff. And guess what they did? They threw his butt in the pit. But he needed that to humble me. You understand? You need that for change. And listen, I don't have that. I don't have self-control in my body today anymore. I share with everything, whatever I have, I share with people. It didn't happen overnight, I tell you. It lasted all the way up until my 40s. Mm-hmm. But with the Holy Spirit's help. Now, I love to share. If I got it, you got it, man. That's not for everybody. He said, but we know that all things work together for good. But here's the caveat for those who love God. See, that's the caveat. Listen, loving God is not because you say you love God. Jesus said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. So in other words, it's for the commandment keepers. Not for commandment breakers. Mm-hmm. Not for those who transgress the commandments. So you understand? He said, for those that love God, all things will work together if you love me and you actually are living like you love me. Because he said, there are many that love me with their lips, but they don't love me with their lives. They said, listen, Lord, you say it with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And then in the last days, I would say, I never knew you. Because my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They won't go after another. Are you following me? My sheep ain't in the club on Friday night, and then in church on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Are you understanding? I got one clap for that.
Amen.
You understand? My sheep have Facebook pages that you can actually look at and not have to repent afterwards. Are you following? They make holy posts on their Instagram account. You understand? So this is new age. You got to talk about this stuff. Because we have this technology in our hand that we could reuse it to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we're using it to share filthiness and stupidity. Young people, you young evangelists,
yes.
You have these tools that poor Pastor Paul never had.
Yeah.
You understand? Pastor Paul didn't have an Instagram account. He could have settled this issue with the book, with the church, in Rome, right on Facebook.
Yeah. All right.
We have glory in him. He said, for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Really quick, I just want to go through this really quick. This is a verse of scripture that gets misconstrued a lot. In fact, there's a great debate within the church body as to what this passage of scripture means. The Bible said that God, whom God foreknew, we also predestined to be sons. Amen? So it talks about, so that's when we get this argument over predestination. Are we predetermined to be saved or not? Did God choose certain people to be saved and other people not to be saved? It's a debate between what's called the Arminian view and the Calvinistic view. One view says that God knew, which he does, because he's omniscient. And I fall more on this side of the fence because I know that God knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. So he knows who's going to say yes and who's going to say no. But at the same time, they said that he predestined. Now, it depends on how far you want to go with that. If you take a Calvinistic view, then you're saying that God already knew who was going to get saved, and then everybody else is just going to be left out. I personally don't see that in the character of God. Matthew, really quick, Matthew chapter 22, you don't have to turn there, but it's where we get this saying that says, many are called, but the chosen are few. Really quickly, Jesus is painting a picture of a man who throws a wedding for his son. He invites everybody, but only a few answer.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think God's heart is. He invites everybody. According to 2 Peter chapter 3 and 9, he says, he would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Oh. So God desires for every single body to get saved. That means he didn't pick people.
Right.
Certain people to be saved. Because if that was the case, then what is all this for anyway? Why are we even doing this? If you pick me to be saved, then why do I even have to ask Jesus in my life? You're already picking.
Uh-huh.
You understand? Yeah. So that's not what's being said. What it is God already knows, because he knows from the end, he already knows. He knows the way that we take. He knows the sufferings that we deal with. He knows our pitfalls. He knows all of the things that we're going through right now. He's already seen. Remember, God doesn't exist in time and in time and space. He exists in eternity. That means that his time, it's not 12 o'clock with God. Amen. See, our world is governed by clocks and calendars. His is by seasons. Amen. In eternity. So God is not living. God is not existing in time. He's already been there. What you're going through, he already been there. He already sees it. Amen. We thank God for that. So what the scripture says in closing up this study, it says, listen, many are called, but the chosen are few. All are called. I like to say it like this. All are called, but there are, but those who choose Christ are few. All are called, but those who choose Christ are few.
Amen.
I mean really choose Christ, not just yeah, I'm a Christian. I checked on a little survey that I'm a Christian. I mean, those that actually live the life, those are few. Amen.
Amen.
So listen, we glorify with him. The last passage of the verse of the scripture says, Romans 30, it says we are called. That means that God called everybody, everybody, the man, everybody to the feast. And some said, oh man, I'm busy. I got work. Got things going on. They have legitimate reasons. One said, I just got married. If you got married, you take a year off and you're supposed to just consummate your marriage and focus on your new job. This is one day I just walked from new talent. I got this to take care of. Well, if you have that, then you will too. But then it says, then it goes on to say that some started to laugh. They took it lightly. They said, oh man, that heaven stuff, that ain't really my thing. I don't want to deal with it, or whatever. So what happens is, man says, listen, if none of my friends will come, none of these folks will come that I invited, then go out to the highways and byways and get anybody that will come. And then get anybody that will come. And one guy shows up to the wedding and he's not dressed properly. That means he tried to come to God his own way. He thought God was like Burger King, he didn't have it over. He didn't have a proper wedding attire. Said, listen, man, basically they tied him up and said, you're going to be passed in the head. Because you think that at the end of your life, you can live like you want to live, and then all of a sudden you can just arrive in heaven, and Peter's going to open up the gate just because you think you were a good person. You may be good compared to Job, but you're not good compared to Jesus, so you can't get in. You can't come to God your own way. Everyone's standing all over the world.